It's Tuesday, 26th of June, and you're listening to the Game Green Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cal.
Good evening.
Catty.
Hello.
And making a triumphant return, Hamiltonius.
You're welcome.
He's been jet setting about, definitely not doing anything illegal, Wisher.
No.
Still suffering from a lack of big news post E3. We've got a few stories this week, at least, before we go into our main topic. But let's start with what's everyone been doing. Cal?
Oh, I haven't got much. I've been rather busy these last couple of weeks.
Okay, let's move on to...
I have been playing some games, mainly sort of clearing the backlog. Been playing a bit of Assassin's Creed, almost finished the DLC on it. But also took advantage of some stuff on the Steam sale, but didn't get much. I didn't sort of titles that I've been meaning to get, but just been far too expensive. Like one of them is Redout, which is a bit like Wipeout for the PC, and it looks really good. But for so long, it's been like 25 quid. I'm like, nah, I don't really want to play that. Steam sale, got it for 7. So I was quite happy with that. And it's a freaking awesome game. Other than that, just doing a bit more of the backlog. And packing, because I'm leaving. That's me.
No, don't go.
Ah, I'm not leaving. I'm moving house.
Right, now that Cal's left.
Cal's ascending to a higher plane of existence.
Yeah. Screw you guys.
Going to the great podcast, The Graveyard in the Sky.
SoundCloud?
That's the one.
Right, Hamiltonius, what have you been up to?
I have mainly been binging Netflix, and thusly haven't played a lot of games. I did put an article out on GameGrin about Persona 5 not too long ago. It's long and boring, and I won't bore people with it here. I am planning another article about The Witcher 3 and how it's not the main story that makes it such a good game. It's the little Witcher contracts that you can do throughout the game as Geralt that really build up the world and the characters and really help set the scene for where the actual main quest takes place. But that's about it. Aside from that, it's the usual stuff. Football Manager. I've been playing Fallout 4 since the release of 76, mainly because very early on in the game I discovered a legendary weapon, which is a minigun, which does 15 points of explosion damage with every bullet. So I'm pretty much walking through the entire game. There's like a mission where you have to attack by a Myalurk queen, which is supposed to take like 10 minutes to fight or 15 minutes to fight. And you're supposed to be like, and I'm playing this on survival difficulty as well, so the hardest difficulty. And I just sort of stood there, and 5 seconds of holding down left click, and that was that boss battle done.
Was that the point lookout?
Yeah. Well, so essentially I've just been wandering through the wasteland in power armor, blaring out 50s and 60s tunes while exploding everyone in sight.
I remember that Myalurk Queen. It did take quite a while and a number of large explosions.
Not if you get
that sounds like me. That sounds like me dealing with anything in Fallout. Takes about 10 minutes and several large explosions, and that's just the first red roaches.
I started out trying to make a melee character, which was kind of fun for a little while, but I can't help myself. Because of the ragdoll physics in that game, explosions are just so much more satisfying.
Okay, Catty, what have you been up to?
We'll start out this week with Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery, because I'm still playing that game, and I will finish it. It just might take a year. All that's really been happening recently is I've been training my friends to make them as good as I am, because I am the best. But Hogwarts is going to shit. Like, half the corridors are covered in ice, and there's students sleepwalking and casting spells and shit. It's fucking everything's going to shit. And I just found a book that talked about branches and stuff. I don't know. It confused the character as much as it confused me. So we're at least we're on the same page. Past that, the only thing I've really been playing, I've started playing RuneScape, but I don't need to say anything about that because that's just sad. The only thing of note I've played is The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, the Life is Strange 2 demo preview prequel thing. We don't really know. It's basically the prologue to Life is Strange 2. But apparently it only the character in the game you play, like, I think they show up at the end of this demo. I think. Obviously that game isn't out, so I can't really say. But past that, they changed how it controls, so now you have to select things with the mouse wheel, but they don't tell you that. So I was sat there trying to work out how I could play with the toys, because that was the second option, and it took me like 10 minutes to work out how to do that. And
you couldn't hit number two?
Nope. So the first Life is Strange was very much a PC game, and then it came onto console. Before the Storm was sort of a bit more... It played better with a controller. This one, straight up, is a console game. I don't think it's... I had lots of problems controlling the camera with the mouse. It kept clipping through things, and it was a bit awkward. But other than that, the story's fantastic. They tell a big story without actually telling any of it. It's all... Everything has already happened, and you kind of just work it out the more you play. And Chris, as a character, is really fun. He is a 9-year-old boy who just wants to be a superhero, and has been dealt a shit hand in life.
So he can't get his parents murdered to become Batman?
One of his parents is dead. He's living alone there with his dad, so he's halfway there. His mum was killed in a crime. I won't say any more than that, but his mum was killed in a crime.
Did her pearl necklace break?
Sounds like a 5-year-old's description. My mum was killed in a crime.
I mean, he is 9.
Could be anything. My imagination is running wild now.
So, to be fair, in that game, the character is 9. I spent most of the 110 minutes playing it just doing chores, because that's the kind of person I am. I couldn't leave the dishes just undone in the sink. And I even took the recycling out.
I need to get my kids doing more chores.
Yeah. Play more life simulation games.
Personally, I've been playing a bit more Total Overdose. Still don't really recall playing it, and I haven't come across any more cutscenes that I remember, but I didn't really play it for very long because I didn't come across any cutscenes. Also played Lego The Incredibles. It's out in America, not out here until the movie comes out next month.
Ooh, somebody got weird. One early.
The review for that should be up on the site sometime next week, I hope. It's not the best Lego game. It has its moments, but there's far too many bugs in it. It really, really brings it down. Also, New Gundam Breaker. A game about... It's really hard to describe because you play as a teenager going to a school which is focused solely on these Gundam model kits called Gunpla. And you have to battle other students by going into a simulation. So I'm assuming it's a simulation of your model kit that is fighting other simulations of other model kits. It's a world where Gundam as a concept exists, so they're familiar with the anime, the manga, and all that.
I've seen it popped up a couple of times, like as people were talking about coming to the PC. But I've also read some people saying that it's not very good compared to the other ones, or there's loads of features in it that Japanese fans hate about it.
Gunplas don't. You can't go to. I was going to say you can't go to Toys R Us, but no, you can't go to Toys R Us. You can't go to The Entertainer, that's another toy shop, and get a Gunpla kit because they just don't exist in the UK. Don't know about America, but I'm assuming you have to go to a specialist store for those. So I don't really get what their selling point is, other than two fans of Gundam who want to play with the models of Gundam.
Yeah, maybe for the super fans.
Also, the subtitles. There's a box around the subtitles which is white with dark grey lines running through it, and the font is very light. Not very thick, and it is black with a white outline to it. So if you're not sat 2 feet in front of your TV, it's quite difficult to read these subtitles. Now,
what subtitles are for, aren't they? Just to be there, not to be able to be read. They're not useful in any way. Read subtitles.
If you can understand the Japanese only audio, then yeah, sure. And then,
I mean, you don't speak Japanese?
Not much. And before you start a mission, it tells you what the mission's going to entail at the top of the screen, but that is in tiny font. It's like size 5 font, which on your average piece of paper, you're looking at size 10 font. So reading size 5 font from across the room, because I have it on a big TV and I want to sit on the sofa and play my game, is just not doable. The gameplay as well is pretty confusing because there's lots going on and not very many objective markers. It doesn't tell you. You have to have knowledge about Gundam to understand what it wants you to do. It's really kind of. Read the review in a couple of weeks once I've gotten far enough in the game, because I put up with that much of the game on GameGrin.com. Today I also was playing Elite Dangerous for the first time since January. It's same old, just fly around. They fiddle with the missions a bit, which tells you more clearly what you're going to get as a reward for doing a mission, quite like that. Not much to report. And I've also played Consortium for a So I Tried, which go up in a couple of week or so. It's a game, a first-person game, where you have, going by the trailer, because I haven't gotten very, obviously I've only gotten half an hour into the game, you're on a ship in the future, of course, spaceship I should say, because there's a lot of pirate sailing games recently. You're part of the crew on this spaceship heading to Ireland, and there's a murder on board, and you have to find out who did it. And there's a lot to do in the trailer about your choices really matter.
Wait, sorry, so, did you just say that you're on a spaceship heading to Ireland?
Yes, I did.
I mean, I think you should have stuck with the boat. That would have been... I want to be on a boat headed to Ireland. That sounds great.
It was it's an interesting game. I'm definitely going to stick with it, see what happens if I try and push someone out the airlock or something. Alright, speaking of airlocks, let's get into the news. Ark Survival Evolved is getting a second expansion pass. The first one, of course, came out while it was still in early access and focused on dragons. This one is called Extinction and takes place on Earth, in case you didn't realise that Ark does not take place on Earth. Has everyone had a look at the teaser trailer?
No, not but the really logo's cool.
It looks... wouldn't people stop with the first one, the first expansion?
Well, people didn't like the first expansion because they hadn't finished working on the game before making it and releasing it.
I think in general people liked what was in the first expansion, just not that they had to pay another full-price game for it.
Yeah, the concept was well-received.
It seems going back to Earth where it all began. It's an interesting concept. I mean, like,
oh shit, that's a big dinosaur.
She'll be challenging giant roaming titans that dominate the planet.
I'll surely be challenging in more ways than one, probably challenging to your GPU as well as the player.
Well, it's coming out in November for consoles and Steam, and it'll be free if you have the Explorers Pack or Season Pass, but you can purchase it for a price that has not been revealed.
You can tell we're all so enraptured by the idea of an Ark.
Yeah, that's a big
dinosaur.
That was the biggest announcement this past week, I'm afraid.
The more I see from Ark, the more, because originally it was just, oh, here's the dinosaur game, and then they kind of, people got to the end game and were like, oh no, this is also sci-fi and everything, we're on a different planet and all of these spaceships and stuff is going on. And the more they keep adding stuff like this, looks really cool. I just don't know if I can be bothered to buy Ark and then find a group to play it with, and then, yeah, it just seems like a lot of effort for a game I probably don't like that much.
I think I bought it on early access. Probably played it for about an hour, and then because of how poorly optimized it was, I probably gave up on it and not bothered since.
But dinosaurs!
Yay, dinosaurs!
Nah. Just buy that new Jurassic Park game.
Yeah.
Oh man, I want to buy that so bad.
Didn't IGN give it 4 out of 10?
They probably let the raptors loose.
There are a lot of things wrong with it, from what I've seen. There's enough things wrong with it that I look at the price tag and go, nah, I'll wait for that to go on sale.
I'd just like to mention that IGN also gave Prey a 4 out of 10, and that was one of our Game of the Years.
Yeah, but the guy who reviewed Prey bitched about his game save.
Yeah, that one instance of a game save going wrong.
Yeah, and he gave the score a 4 because of it.
Because the game's awful because a save late in the game. Yeah. Anyway, let's go on to... let's not focus on other websites. GTA Online is getting a nightlife update soon.
Speaking of poorly optimized games.
Cash cows match on the GTA 5.
I mean, it's fine. They've just added another 3 minutes to the loading time of GTA.
I was going to say, that's the worst part about GTA Online, is just, I can't get into it. I've seen so many great videos, comedy videos and things like that, with lights, people playing online with YouTube on their GTA 5, and it's like, yeah, I don't want to do that, like the custom maps, and then you just try and get into it, and it's like, waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting. Yeah.
But you've got to wait until the main game loads, because they're trying to get you into the online, so hey, while you're waiting, why not hit
That's because all of the stuff that's in the online is also loaded in the single player, even though you can't access it without mods.
Yeah.
And even then, those mods can get you like banned from the online.
Yeah. It's also the fact like there's like connection problems like quite frequently. And like you join a match and then it will just load you up. Like you'll see this top of the map. It will tell you like you're loading, and then it will for a brief second load into the lobby, then it will say lobby disconnected, then you'll come back and then you have to wait again for you to then go back to your character to try matchmaking again.
I have not had that too much.
I've had that on occasion. We tend
to play mostly in crew sessions, so it's less public stuff. But once you get past that ridiculously way too long loading time to get into the game, it's pretty good.
It is.
But
yeah.
Then there's just so many times when it just... It used to be fantastic, now it's just pretty good.
It would have made them all that money otherwise, would it really?
Well, it's just because they've added so much stuff and not optimized the game for any of it, or fixed the game for any of it, it takes so long to even load out of the end screen sometimes. Of the when you finish a mission, it comes up with, here's who won, and if you're doing a race, here's how quickly they did it. Sometimes we get stuck on that for like 2-3 minutes because the game just shits itself and it doesn't load for anybody. And it didn't used to do that. It didn't do that until about a year ago after the 60th massive update that they did to the game that just added more things you needed to pay real money for.
Well, I see how it handles nightclubs, since that's what this thing's adding, isn't it?
Yeah, nightclubs and new sets from Solomon, Tale of Us, Dixon, and the Black Madonna. For those of you who know who those people are. They're running a join the guest list promo at the moment. Log on between now and the 2nd of July, and you'll be added to the guest list. And then the following week, you'll be given 300,000 GTA bucks and an exclusive orange wireframe bodysuit.
So another problem. Sorry, go on, Ace.
And then later in July, you'll also receive exclusive rewards for logging in each week, including cash between 100,000 and 350,000 GTA dollars, exclusive discounts on forthcoming vehicles, and exclusive liveries on new vehicles like the Ocelot Swinger classic sports car, and much, much more.
So, with this update, they've now added another business for you to run, by which I mean very expensive thing for you to buy and then do nothing with. Because they start off with, you just make corporations. I think that was the first one where you were basically just drug smugglers and you bought an office and it was way too expensive and it let you buy yachts and stuff. Then they did the biker gang, I think. And so you could buy a dive bar or something and just have a little biker gang. And that was pointless. Then they did there's two different types of underground base. One's bunkers and the other one's something else, I don't remember. And they do vastly different things and cost twice as much as anything else in the game. Then they added you can now buy airports and you can also buy just... There's so many things you can buy in that game that just don't do anything.
There's an easy way to buy everything in the game. Pay real money for GTA bucks.
But it's not... buying those things technically isn't actually that difficult. If you decide on one to buy and then play for a little while, you could probably, if you kept playing on the double money weekends and things, you could probably earn it, really slowly, but not too bad. But it's the fact that it doesn't do anything. It just gives you a space to run around in and do nothing in. It might let you set off a mission that is identical to another mission you could just do by opening your phone. They've had some there's been some really good ideas in having a biker gang, having just biker gangs rove around the map would be really cool, but that doesn't exist.
biker gangs in the GTA 4 DLC was one of my favourite parts of that game.
So they have done it right before. It's just here they got it completely wrong. The missions themselves are like, they're alright, but there's no impact on the game because not everyone wants to play with that, and they've got to make sure that as many people are happy as possible because that's how they get their money from this.
Yeah, you know Rockstar, they have one good idea and they stick with it and never make any more games because their games never sell.
Well, that was only the case with 5, wasn't it? They had yearly releases until 5 came out.
Yep.
So, can't wait for Red Dead Redemption 2.
See, I'm worried about that game because of how GTA Online is. But we'll see.
Yeah, you'll get Civil War bucks or something.
It'll still be dollars, I bet.
Slaves.
Coyote cards.
Right, moving on to our next thing. Telltale Games are reportedly ditching their old engine, the one that served them so well over the years and hated by everyone who's played more than 3 of their games. They're going to ditch it after the upcoming The Walking Dead, the final season. So that means that The Wolf Among Us Season 2 and an untitled Stranger Things game, which are coming out next year, will be running on Unity instead.
Oh, thank God, a reason I don't have to play Walking Dead Season 3. Oh, thank you. They listened. They heard what we were all saying. We don't want to play this game. Why are you making it? Please go away. And now they've just given us on a silver platter a reason to never buy it.
I still need to do the second season of The Walking Dead.
Shows how good they are at capturing an audience.
It's true.
They're moving to Unity, aren't they?
That is what I said.
Yeah, sorry. If I remember reading the story earlier correctly, their boss is also the boss of Unity as well.
Oh, well, that begs the question: can't speak now. If the boss was the head of Unity, why didn't they switch engines sooner?
I think he's fairly new. I'm not sure.
Brand synergy.
That makes sense. I suppose they wanted to finish up with the projects they were currently doing.
Sorry,
and go, right.
I got it wrong. It's not their CEO. It's one of their board members is the boss of Unity.
Well, I mean, they've chosen a good engine.
At least. in the right hands, Unity engine's a fantastic engine.
And it's unfair to say that Telltale aren't the right hands. It's just that their engine is now so old. It's the same thing with the Call of Duty games, where they use, I think, the same version of id Tech. I can't remember which one. But they use the same version for like 6 games in a row, and by the time you got to that last game, it was very obviously not working anymore.
The problem with Call of Duty's engine, though, is it's actually split across 3 developers. So ever since, like, I believe since Modern Warfare 2, the engine has been the same, and they've just, like, each when it's been handed off to, say, Treyarch and then Infinity Ward and then Sledgehammer, they all modify it and make changes to it across the board. So that's why, like, Black Ops 3, they added in so that you could see your legs and your whole body almost. But then in World War 2, that's gone again. So it's because of the developers. They're still a poor engine to use these days.
Bloody developers ruining games.
I'll be interested to see how Telltale take the Unity engine, because obviously it's ridiculously versatile. You can do basically anything you want with it. So I'll be interested to see how different those games will be in comparison.
Yeah, and it's also a basic question. Like, now they're finally switching over to Unity. Unity is actually really good for, like, impressive photorealistic imagery. And, like, these, you know, they've even made, like, movies made from it. That are really
good. I'm sure Telltale are going to keep their style of characters.
Will they change style, or will they keep to their sort of painted art style?
I reckon they'll keep their style. Their beginnings were, their popular beginnings were in the comic book stuff, The Walking Dead, The Wolf Among Us. Forget the earlier video game ones. Film tie-ins.
They've also got taken into account
Tales of Monkey Island.
Yeah,
they've also got taken into account running it on like every bloody platform imaginable. Because they've got the mobile version, you've got the PC version, console version. So they'll have to scale it and not make it too graphically intensive. So even if it's, you know, to be fair, I would not be surprised if it literally looks exactly like all their previous titles, but it's just built on the built on the Unity engine instead, and is obviously much more optimized. They could just use the same assets.
So long as the next Batman game he has a face under his cowl, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
I was talking about the Life is Strange 2 earlier. They're moving into Unity as well, away from Unreal. The first game was Unreal. Before the Storm was its own special brand of game engine that they're not using. I don't know if The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit is Unity. I assume it probably is. If it's the same framework as Life is Strange 2.
It's not cheap to develop an engine. Seems odd that they'd use it for one game.
It was a different company, so it was that company's own engine that they'd worked on before.
Doing a quick search on the mighty powerful Wikipedia, apparently Life is Strange Before the Storm ran on Unity, which I think was the last one that came out.
It was Unity. Oh, sorry. Yeah. They used Unity, but they used their self-developed toolset called StoryForge, which is, basically a reskin is not the right word, but a re.
It's a UI. Tool.
Yeah, effectively. Yeah. Sorry. I thought it was just StoryForge. That's my bad.
Okay, our next news piece was suggested by Hamiltonius. Microsoft and Razer may be working on an Xbox keyboard and mouse.
To the horror of people having to play shooters with controllers everywhere.
I can see this working, but then at the same time I can't see it working.
Can you not already use a keyboard and mouse for the Xbox One? I'm pretty sure you can for the PlayStation.
Yeah, but it doesn't. It's the games that need support. I think Microsoft does. I don't know. The Xbox 360 did. You could like browse the web.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because it let you control it with the let you use your media controls.
And assuming that Xbox development is the way that Microsoft have been telling us, and it's just a universal Windows platform app, they'll have the keyboard controls just built into that, because that's how they test it.
Yeah, it would already have baked into the OS, native keyboard and mouse support anyway. But it's not just that; it's the game support as well. If it does come and it happens, then there'll probably be very few games that would support keyboard and mouse, or Microsoft might implement.
That's what I was saying. Because all the games that come out on Xbox One are their format is UWP, has been for a few years. So, and they come baked in with keyboard and mouse controls. That's part of their UI stuff.
Oh yeah, I was going to say the first party games probably will. Microsoft will be like,
everything on Xbox One is a UWP.
Yeah, but what about third party titles?
Everything on Xbox One is a UWP. It's the only format that Microsoft publish anymore on that platform.
I didn't know that. I just suspected it'd be like up to the developer's choice as well.
Not as far as I'm aware.
Right.
I know someone who made an indie game and they sent their game across as like a EXE or whatever it was to Microsoft, and Microsoft sent it back and refused to certify it. They had to send it as a UWP.
Oh, right. Well, the more you know. I didn't know.
My question when it comes to things like this, I mean, we've seen the prototype. I think it was Microsoft prototype accessibility keyboard they're working on. That's great, but I mean, what I'm wondering is gamers usually have a PC and a console. If you want to play a shooter, you buy it on your PC. Anything else, you buy it on your console. Have a console, why would they want a mouse and keyboard when they're used to using analog sticks?
Yeah, it could also be the situation like Microsoft's really pushing towards like
turning
this
the
cross-play.
Xbox into a computer.
Quite literally, yeah. But they're also looking like, oh, Halo 6 is coming to PC. We're going to have cross-play with that. But you're going to have probably PC gamers and Xbox gamers that Xbox gamers be like, oh, don't want to use a controller. I want to use a keyboard and mouse like the big boys. And like they can then just plug in a keyboard and mouse and like play with their friends and be a bit more competitive and actually see what it actually is like to fucking kill with a keyboard and mouse. It's better. Yay. I don't know. It's like you said, Alex. I think it's just Microsoft just trying to push the Xbox, especially the One X, as a PC alternative. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they even had like a desktop view mode included, how like Windows 10 adaptively changes between tablet and desktop modes.
I remember what a shambles tablet mode was.
Yeah. Microsoft X. Sorry, I was going to say Microsoft X Office. Xbox version of Office.
Oh, God.
Dude, if spreadsheets. You wouldn't...
To be fair, you can play some great games in Excel.
Exactly.
I've been looking at getting a new Android tablet, and of course when you're looking at anything online, Android and iOS and Windows all get mixed together. So I've seen a couple of tablets saying that you can switch between normal Windows and Windows tablet mode with Windows 10. So they're still pushing it.
Oh yeah,
still a thing.
Yeah, they're still doing it. I mean, I'd suggest if you were going to get like a tablet these days, I would look at maybe getting a Chromebook, which has Android apps available for it. They're usually like the two-in-one ones, so you can sort of flip it over and it's turned into a tablet.
Or splash out on one of the ridiculously expensive, I think it's Surface Books, one of the actually quite powerful ones, and then run Android emulators, which is what I know people do.
Yeah, get BlueStacks on it.
£500, £600, £700.
Get an iPad Pro.
Just upping the price of everything now.
Yeah, we're just literally upping the price of it.
Just get bioelectric feedback straight to your skin.
Just wait for
your computer.
Google Glass. You don't need a touchscreen.
Sell everything you own and buy an iPad Pro, because that's apparently, according to Apple, is like everything that's a computer. That's your bio and end all device. According to a little girl on the TV, you know, she's so good she doesn't know what a computer is.
Just as tangentially, I found Apple's marketing campaigns recently incredibly irritating.
Yeah, they're very pretentious.
The latest one as well is, oh God, it's on all the time.
Are they still running the one where you've got the people in the trampoline room? Because that one really annoyed me, because most of what they were saying was wrong. Like they were saying, oh, it's more secure. And I'm like, well, technically it's not. And by technically, it just really isn't.
What were they saying more secure?
They were saying it's... I can't exactly remember. They were comparing
iOS face
to
ID.
Android. Probably.
Like Face ID. It's like, oh, Face ID is more secure. It's...
It's not. It's easier to fool...
Asian.
It's easier to fool Apple Face ID than it is to fool the Samsung equivalent.
Yeah, the Iris one.
Right, let's move on to our other Hamiltonian suggested news piece, a media coverage analysis for E3 2018. Hamilton, what am I looking at with this?
Someone's just essentially crunched the numbers when it comes to E3. Some of the bigger things there are things like overall mentions by the media in terms of numbers of articles have gone down year on year. It was 28,000 in 2016, 27 in 2017, and 25 in 2018. You can also see the mentions in the media by numbers of articles over the years, by platform. So you can generally see the trend there that both PlayStation and Xbox were mentioned less, and Nintendo was mentioned more, but only by about 40 articles, so it doesn't really make that much of a wave. And there's tons of other stuff in there. You can see the platforms by number of articles separated out, including things like PS4 Pro, PS Vita, Xbox One S, and things like that. You can see that right at the end, of the Xbox One S surprisingly got 127 articles compared to the Xbox One, which had 12,000 articles, but I'm not sure how they're really calculating that one. But yes,
I'd assume that's Xbox One is just because that's just like the platform. Yeah. The PS4 was also just... That would just be people can't be bothered to type in Xbox One X, Xbox One S, so they'll just type in Xbox One. That's the whole thing.
VR articles in general are down. The big drop is actually in E3 2016, there were 3,000 mentions or articles about PlayStation VR. This year, there were only 601.
VR dying?
Well, PlayStation blew their VR load the week before E3, before their showcase. We talked about this a bit last week, and with Nikki said they showed off a new game every day in the lead up, and none of it got covered because it was the lead up to E3, so no one cared.
Microsoft also made a bit of a blow. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say HTC Vive doesn't really get covered much at E3 anyway, because Valve don't show up and HTC don't show up really, so. There's no one there to peddle that. And is Oculus still a company? I thought they'd been killed.
No, there's...
by lawsuit and Facebook.
Yeah. You'd have thought, if anything, VR was going to make a massive presence, it would have been at the PC Gamer Show, but... Yeah. And Microsoft made a blow a couple of days ago, pretty much saying that they've got no plans to do anything VR-related for the Xbox. I think their focus is probably the HoloLens. You know, AR is going to be the next big thing.
Another thing that was very conspicuously missing this year after 2 years of being sort of the middle of the show presentation. They got out Minecraft 2 years in a row for no reason other than to show off that. HoloLens wasn't there this year.
All the kids are playing Fortnite instead now.
They're working on the AR version of Fortnite.
That's another thing as well. Fortnite had the most number of articles. You know, had a lot of news there, the Switch port. And also stuff about PS4 crossplay not being done.
Yeah, that way headways a lot across the week after E3. With Sony being a bit of a bunch of dicks.
That's probably also why PlayStation had so many. Hits, so many more hits than 2,000 more hits than Xbox.
Also, this thing about cultural appropriation I keep hearing with Sony, which made me laugh. Like, it's like, I'll come off it. But the Sony thing with the crossplay was not just the fact that Sony's saying no to Nintendo and Xbox crossplay, it was the fact that if you already had an account with Epic playing the PS4 version, then that account would then just be literally held by Sony, and you couldn't use it on any other device as a result of it. That was caused massive uproar. I mean, it made the BBC of all places. And Sony was like, no, we don't care. It's like, okay.
The top console exclusive mentioned at E3 was actually Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Which
looks fantastic.
To be fair,
ninth on the list,
excluding the so first-party Sony games, were there any console exclusives apart from, like, you've got Smash and obviously all the Nintendo games, but if you go into sort of the more mainstream, the more sort of the core gaming market, moving away from Nintendo, nothing in Xbox was naturally an exclusive, and I think there was only two games.
Yeah,
Spider-Man. From Sony.
Yeah.
Oh, three games, because you've got the Samurai one.
Is The Last of Us Part 2 exclusive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Sony just showed off their big.
They showed off games that everybody, you know, announced.
Yeah. Recently, pretty much. It's just that we've already announced, they've already seen them, but this was like another look at the game, or like actual gameplay, like with The Last of Us 2, which a lot of people said wasn't real gameplay.
I already complained about how bad the Sony press conference was, but did they show off that zombie game that they spunked over 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row, I think?
They did show more of it, yeah. I think there was like, loads of the E3 stages had like people talking about it and showing more gameplay. And
that sounds about right for Sony this year.
There's loads of zombie games coming back as well from E3. There's like the Walking Dead game, which is an FPS. Then you've got
Overkill's,
which Then you've got that Dying Light 2, which is technically a zombie game. What's that other one? Shit. The number zombie popular novel. They made a movie of it with Brad Pitt in it. World War Z. That's it. We got that game coming out.
My poor World War Z.
Which is going to be more like the film and unlike the book at all.
Ooh.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like zombie games are coming back. And I don't know why.
Bethesda won the conference as well in terms of mentions. Fallout 76 driving a lot of that. And also Elder Scrolls 6, even though they didn't show anything.
And Elder Scrolls Blades? I went into that with all the confidence and then just wasn't sure because I couldn't see it on the list of things people searched for.
Yeah, the mobile game. The Elder Scrolls Mobile.
It's going to be on everything, even though it's clearly touch controls.
So the author of the blog on Gamer Sutra, Thomas Allcrist, it's French, Bidot, so it closes it by saying there's a storm brewing, which seems to be hinting that 2019 could be the E3 where we hear about potential next generations. Do you guys think that'll be the case?
I do. Absolutely.
I think it's what everyone's thought was going to be the case since the PS4 Pro launched.
Microsoft don't bring anything to the table straight away. They've already just got the Xbox One X out, so they want to push that out more and more. But if they do announce another console, then it will be within the same family ecosystem. One of the things I saw, well, I watched Digital Foundry when they did the coverage on the new Halo game, but they were saying it's rendered in engine, or it's the game engine. So that was all in game. It looked too good to be running on even the Xbox One X, which speculates it could be the first title to sort of have a cross generation. So it's,
or it could have just been PC, because that game is coming to PC as well.
It more likely was just PC purge. But there's speculation, as they are. There is already knocking about, loads of rumors knocking about that AMD are very secretively working on a GPU or like a new APU processor GPU specifically for Sony. So
it's all but confirmed at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. So they're making it just for Sony. So that could be probably based off Ryzen and whatever the new GPU thing's called. I can't remember now. So people are quite powerful, I suppose. And yeah, Sony will probably come out and say, well, I don't know, they did a big whole little conference for the announcement of the PS4, so they could do another one, not show the console, but then talk bollocks about how much graphically impressive this new hardware system, blah, 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 is going to be. Maybe get a controller reveal like they did, and then actually reveal it in 2020. Or get it released for 2020.
I think Sony will be, next year will be under a lot of pressure to not fuck up as much as they did this year. So I don't think they'll do that. If they want to announce it, they will go all out. And bells and whistles.
Sony's been a victim of its own success, though, so...
Well, not really. I don't say that at all, because they had this arrogance back with the when they were top dogs with the PS2, when they were, like, big bollocks with PS2. The PS3 announcement just really knocked them down.
It's a cycle.
It literally is a cycle, because it happened with Microsoft. Microsoft did shitty with the Xbox. The Xbox 360 was like... really massively successful. They unveiled the Xbox One. It's going to have DRM. It's always online. Oh, shit. We fucked up here. And they're now actually just recovering. Sony, though, on the other hand, these days have gone really fucking arrogant again.
To be fair, with the Xbox 360, it's just because they put that warranty banana in. That's the reason it was successful.
Yeah. Well, they knocked it out sooner, and massive issues with it.
Right, we're coming up to the end of the podcast, so let's have a look at games that are coming out next month that we think will suck. We haven't done this in a few months.
What month is it?
It's going to be July. Since we
was August for a moment.
This week left. There's a number of games coming out this week. The Crew 2 is coming out.
I've heard good things from the people I know who played the demo.
Has anyone actually played it?
They didn't let me into the closed beta, so I didn't try and go into the open beta.
Oh. I gave it a go.
I spited them.
I gave it a go at Gamescom and the beta as well. And it's good. It's fun. And I like the fact that they let you switch between, because it's cars, boats, and planes this time. And you can sort of switch back and forth between those. I think motorbikes as well. And yeah, but I was impressed with the map scale. The map is fucking huge. And it looks pretty.
The swapping thing kind of bugs me, because surely you're not playing as a character.
Oh, you
if
are.
If you can swap. So how do you get from a car to instantly be up in the air?
Magic. No, you don't go instantly up in the air. You swap where you currently are. So you can be in a plane, swap to a car, and you're like the GTA Transform races, it will just instantly transform into whatever you chose.
So like you could like drive off a ramp, get some height in the car, and then switch to a plane, and then you can continue off, or if you bloody sat on the ground, you can... switch to a plane or switch to a boat, and it'd be really weird.
So it's Sega All-Stars Racing Transformed?
Kinda. But yeah, you choose an avatar.
And a massive open world map.
Yeah, the map, you
with
can go
bears.
To like...
I've to Las seen Vegas. Screenshots of bears.
Oh, really? So some wildlife in there as well. So you can go to like Las Vegas, San Diego, not San Diego, Chicago, LA. It's fucking huge.
Coming out next month, we've got Octopath Traveler, which to me appears like it's going to be a very generic, by the numbers, very pretty RPG.
I talked about this last week because I tried the demo and really didn't like it. I agree with you. I think that they've shot themselves in the foot with their really poor writing. Just in the... The writing's probably fine, it's just the decision for the way they present it is terrible. No Man's Sky is coming out on Xbox One, apparently. Thought it already did, but...
No, it was on PlayStation and PC.
Oh, well, there we go. I'm sure that's going to be good. Faction. I've heard great...
Yeah. Red Faction Guerrilla. That'd be a good one to pick up.
Remastered. The original still holds up, so I don't know why they're remastering.
Didn't the PC version also get like Steam Works added to it?
It did have games for Windows Live that was removed, and they released the Steam version. They when I still had it updated several months ago, they were releasing regular updates for the online stuff. So this remaster kind of surprised me.
It's made by a company that does not have a Wikipedia page.
Oh.
It's not Volition.
It's not Iron Galaxy, is it?
No, it's a company called Kaiko. They have made Darksiders Warmastered, Darksiders 2 Death Definitive Edition, Legend of K Anniversary Edition.
Oh, that's why. They're the guys who did basically the Darksiders remastered, which
they
was...
they seem to do a lot of their old their own games long time ago and then stopped.
Well, they made Legend of K. That's quite good, actually.
They made Anno Create a New World, which was a Wii game. Oh, technically they did the DS version of it. And you can tell that this game was noticed because it does not have it has a Wikipedia page, but no, has the plot and nothing else. There's no how it was received or anything.
They're based in Germany.
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, people playing the demo have said that it's really good, and someone I follow on Twitter is going to be really annoyed if everyone who owns a Switch doesn't buy it for some reason.
I'm not buying it.
I don't even have a Switch.
Wow. Well, you should buy one. You should buy this game because it's a game.
Oh, don't worry. I am actually genuinely interested in buying a Switch. Maybe this month, maybe next month.
For Captain Toad?
No, not directly for Captain Toad. I might pick it up. I kind of want to get the... I want Super Mario, obviously. But I also really want Super Smash Bros. So it might be closer to when that comes out, which is in December.
Hang on, this is just the Switch version of the Wii U/3DS game. It's not even like a sequel.
Is it not a new game?
Oh no, sorry. Re-release of the Wii U game. It's coming to 3DS and Switch.
It does have new stuff in it, but yeah, it is just that old game.
Yeah,
though, to be fair,
I've seen gameplay
probably...
of the Wii U version. It didn't really impress me.
They're re-releasing Sonic Mania on the Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox One. I'm trying to work out what it's got. New playable characters: Mighty the Armadillo,
two new characters,
and Ray the Flying Squirrel.
Yep.
It also adds encore mode with remix levels, a four-player competition mode, more cutscenes, and a reworked Metal Sonic battle based on his appearance in Knuckles Chaotix. And it also comes with a 32-page art book if you buy the physical version, which I might actually do for the Switch. Because that game is good and I only played it once.
I need to get around to buying it. I've played almost every other Sonic game. There's even a really crappy shooter, scroll up the screen shooting at things, featuring Sonic in a spaceship. Don't ask. It's aimed at children. Which is the only reason I'm any good at it.
There's not a lot coming out this month, is there?
No, I'm quite surprised, given that E3 has just happened. I'm surprised a lot more people, a lot more companies weren't, this is coming out next month!
Everyone kind of just did the end of this month. Or 2019. Oh, there's so many Switch ports came out this month. I did not even realize.
Well, someone doesn't have their Switch glued to their face.
I mean, I turned off the store notifications because I just didn't care. So I might pick up Wolfenstein 2 on it to try it, if it's not stupidly expensive, though it probably will be.
And with that, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Hamiltonius, Cal, and Catty. Make sure to check out GameGrin.com for gaming news, reviews, and articles. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Grincast. And you can find GameGrin on Facebook or Twitter and YouTube as well. Remember to check out our Twitch stream from 8 p.m. UK time every single day. And you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. And while you're at it, game on.